Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
That's something to hold on to. I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 John and chapter 5. And it's quite significant in the light of the song that you were singing a few moments ago. Because there's a statement here which is kind of like a key statement, and then we're going to kind of work our way towards it. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. And I'm only just going to read a part of this verse, and not even the context of it. You know, sometimes when you're reading the Word of God, you've read it many, many, many times before. And I'd read 1 John, I don't know how many times I've read through this letter. And then I just got to this beginning of verse 4, and it says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." So the song, we must be on the same wavelength. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. That's a statement. It's not even a sort of a word of encouragement. It's actually a statement. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. And that is our birthright. Whatever happens, God is always wanting to draw us into the future, into his place of blessing. Just like the testimony Joyce has shared about that terrible car tragedy that happened those many, many years ago. God was there because he says, whatever is happening now, there is always the future. And I want to draw you into a good future. I want to draw you into a place of blessing. And I just felt what the Lord has been saying into my heart as I've been preparing this, that yes, I know that scripture. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. We've sung it, you know. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We know it, we've said it, we sing it, and all the rest of it. But there are times when we just want to know, how do we make that pathway from a place of where we are to the place of where God has said we will be? And I just found the Lord saying there are some keys that place us into a pathway of his blessing. It isn't good works. I haven't got a lot of good works for you to do today. I haven't got any good works for you to do today. It is just being in the right place when God's blessing will come upon us. You know, it says, one of the scriptures in Isaiah says, he longs to be gracious to you. Do you know that? Now, why does that scripture say he longs to be gracious to you? Because sometimes we take ourselves out of the pathway of his graciousness. And what the God is saying is, if you will stand in the place of my blessing, you will know something powerful. So, I want to just kind of go through a few things. This is kind of practical stuff. Because, you know, God is always speaking to us. I'll just give you one thing to start off with. 2 weeks ago, two of our young folk in church got married. It was a real kind of Living Waters church marriage. You know, everybody was involved in the wedding. The bride was nearly an hour late because there was a crash on the M5. Thankfully, I don't think there was any fatalities on that one. But in any case, everybody was enjoying themselves. The sun was shining. Okay, the bride's maybe an hour late, but the thing is, we're here all day, so it doesn't matter when she arrives. And we had a wonderful wedding, but because, you know, these things are expensive, the whole church is involved. So immediately after the ceremony, everybody was offered some tea and coffee and a cupcake. So between us, we made 400. When I say us, it doesn't include me. Between us, there were 400 cupcakes ready downstairs. And everybody got their stories of either the success or the disaster. I won't ask Joyce to tell her story. It was a disaster. The cupcakes failed and someone else bailed her out. But in any case, we all arrived and these cupcakes were there. Then we went off to the reception and the couple had chosen their favorite meal for their reception, fish and chips. From the local chippy, noggins in Nailsea. 150 portions of fish and chips. They were on lovely white plates, I can tell you, not newspaper. But it was great. And then the rest of the church had made banoffee pie. So if you weren't doing cupcakes, it was banoffee pies. And all the teenage kind of girls, all the kind of 13, 14, 15 year olds were serving tables. And the rest of the church were in the kitchen serving. And there were about 90 people who were involved in just making that day an incredible day. And I just thought, we don't celebrate enough. We don't kind of do fun things enough. We can be quite sort of, you know, serious. But it wasn't a serious day, and the internet has been jammed with photographs ever since. Every time you go on to Facebook, there's another picture that's arrived, because the sense of joy and rejoicing that came through that day was tremendous. And we just began to say, you know, what is it? And then the Lord just began to speak to us about joy. Because I want to give you as one of the keys of actually living in faith and of being ready to receive, is that you actually live in joy. So last Sunday morning, just like neither Joyce or I were involved in kind of preaching or anything in our own home church, but we were just sort of reading the word in the morning as we always do, and it was quite significant because both of us came up with from Psalm 105 and just began to say something about joy. And so Psalm 105 and verse 43, this is the scripture that I was just saying. I was reading this. He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen one with shouts of joy. I thought that's good. That's the way God wants us to do. But we hadn't compared notes. And we arrived to meet the folk who pray before the service. And Joyce said, I just want to tell you, when I was reading the psalm this morning, God began to speak to me about joy. And she began to read the early verses. I thought, didn't say that to me. But it actually wasn't the NIV that I normally read. Joyce had read it in the Message. Because she's got a Bible that does it in two ways. Now, my message isn't between the leather covers. My message is in the phone, all right? And so this is what she was reading. Hallelujah. Thank God. Pray to him by name. Tell everyone you meet what he has done. Sing him songs. Belt out hymns. Translate his wonders into music. Honor his name with hallelujahs. You who seek God, live a happy life. I thought that's good stuff. And so we began to explore the whole thing about joy. And then one of the things that we do is we write a word or send out an email every week called Word for the Week, which comes all, some of you folks get it here. And we just write it mostly alternate times. Joyce will write one week, I'll write another. And our aim is to stir faith. Our aim is to encourage people to get into the place of God's blessing. So I said to Joyce on Monday morning, no, you're on the Word of the Week this week. And she said, yes, I do. she said, what are you going to write about? I said, I'm going to write about being happy. So she wrote a word about being happy. And there's a link in there to a YouTube clip about a Jew discovering a bit about the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, you may or may not know this, but when they had the Feast of Tabernacles, which was when they went outside for a week and lived in tents, do you know what I'm talking about? Just nod if you're not completely ignorant as to whether this... God said there's a feast when you actually get out of your house, you go out and you build yourself a booth, and you go in there, but what you've got to do is that week is a week you've got to be full of joy. I'm commanding you to be joyful. And this YouTube thing, go on our website and you can find it, is about a rabbi telling a reporter about how God has commanded him to be joyful and how they do it. And they were doing it by dancing and doing all kinds of crazy things. If you watch the YouTube clip, it's hilarious. But they knew that God had said that they were to be full of joy. And we have, God gives us the ability to be full of joy all the time. Every day you have the right to be in joy. And that's one of the keys that God wants to do. Being in joy is a whole sense that we are living with a kind of a sense of knowing his joy in our hearts. There's a psalm which says, weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And it's not that we deny things that aren't bad. It isn't that we are kind of ignoring the fact that tragedies happen. But tragedies do not hold us captive. Bad things do not become our prison. Weeping may remain for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And if you've ever read anything about George Muller, who is the guy who did all the orphanages up in Bristol, there's a book that is part of one of his life stories written by somebody about him, said, delighted in God. He knew that every day when he woke up in the morning, the very first thing he needed to do was to know that he got joy. He got his joy level right. There's a verse in the Proverbs which says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And I just don't want to kind of dwell on this, but I think it's important that, you know, we face things. We don't know. I mean, none of us here are probably personally involved with this tragedy. We haven't got a friend or a relative or anybody who we know personally. We don't know at this moment, but probably that may be the case. So therefore, it's very hard to enter into that. But things do happen. Sadness comes. People die. We have setbacks in our family life. And the enemy wants them to come and take hold of us. But God always has a way through. And he always wants to bring us through to victory. Just hearing some testimony, even as we came in today, of a situation that has changed for the better since the last time we were here. And something in my heart just leapt and said, ah, God, you're proving yourself true. Because although the story we heard here back in June when we were here was a sad story, today it's a story that's full of hope. I thought of David. Do you remember the story in 1 Samuel 30? When David had gone off fighting with his men and he arrived back at the town that he lived in. And the town had been ransacked. All his wives had been taken. Everybody's children had been taken. All the goods had been taken. And the town was in total disarray. And it says David and his men wept until they couldn't weep anymore. And then it says, but David found strength in the Lord. And he went out and they recovered every person. No life was lost. None of their possessions were lost. Their children were discovered and they all came back. Why? Because if you stay weeping, you do not open up that place where God can pour in his power. Because the essence of the thing that God wants us to do is to know that we have a living contact with him. He longs to be gracious. But if we're not got our hearts open to him, his graciousness will not come in. And the essence is that he is a living God. He is a loving God. And he wants good things for you. Okay? Now, I think you should tell Rosie's testimony. This is another testimony.
I have been working with a young woman for some time in a kind of mentoring role. She just comes, she spends time with me, we pray together, and she goes off and gets on with it. She wasn't a member of our church at that time. And one day I had a phone call from her. She had been running what she called a shack group in the local very, very high Anglican church. People who actually wouldn't study the Bible, but they would read the book, The Shack. So you, by all means, you break in. So she started a group where she said to people, well, let's have a look at this book, The Shack, together. And so they would read a chapter every day, every week, meet together and discuss it and talk about, you know, the things that were raised as a result of that. And she asked her sister, who was about 6 or so years younger than her, if she would come along. And this young woman had not been in church since she'd been at university. She was highly qualified in the medical realm, had a responsible job. And she said she would come. So she came to this one evening where they were, I think, second week of studying The Shack. But when she got home that night, she couldn't stop crying. And she was totally, totally out of control. She just could not stop weeping. She didn't know what was going on. She was trying to stop herself. She was trying to rationalize. Couldn't work out what was going on. So I had a phone call to say, would you see my sister? She just can't go to work because she's in such a mess. And so I said, yes. And you've got to be. My word is yes. All right? Whatever happens, yes. Even if after I've said yes, I actually feel, oh, what on earth can I do in that situation? Do you know? Say yes first, and then you have to rely on the resources of the Holy Spirit. So this young woman turned, and she said, I said, I'll see her tomorrow morning. So she came around to where I live, and I sat at the kitchen table, and her eyes were all red. She was messed up. And before she came, I said to the Lord, what am I dealing with, and what do you want me to do? Instructions, please. And he said, you are dealing with the spirit of grief. You need to find out when it got in, and you need to tell it to go. But what you need to do is to tell her, if she wants to maintain her healing, she needs to keep in living contact with me. So that seemed fairly straightforward. So I asked her, you know, various questions. And what actually came out was that as a small child, her mother had been ill. And this little bouncy three-year-old, who was being sort of handled from pillar to post, really, everybody thought she had got through the trauma of her mother being in and out of hospital over probably a period of 2 years. But really, it all gone inside. And suddenly, you know, at this moment in time, the Holy Spirit just took the lid off, and the grief and the tears and the upset was all being, was manifesting. So I just said to her, you know, that is grief, but the enemy has got on behind it, and it's become a spirit of grief. And we explored that whole thing. I said, now I'm going to actually command that it goes, and that you're going to be free, and you're going to walk out of this kitchen today knowing that it is gone, it stopped tormenting you, and we're going to ask God to just pour in his healing balm into you. Yes, she agreed with that. And I said, but one thing I need to say to you, if you want to maintain this, then you have to maintain living contact with Jesus. Now, you know, afterwards you beat yourself up and you think, I didn't ask her where she stood with Jesus. I didn't ask her when she got born again. I didn't ask her this. I didn't ask her that. I didn't ask her any of it. I just assumed that because God had said what he'd said, all I was the messenger. So, a week later, I saw her sister, and I said to her, how's she doing? And she said, she's absolutely fine. But she said, she hasn't been in church for 6 years. But on Sunday, she said to her boyfriend, I'm going to church on Sunday, and I want you to come with me. So he had never, ever darkened the door of any of our local churches. And he turned up with her in a little chapel in one of the villages nearby. And she said to him, he said, do we have to go next week? And she said, yes, because I've got to maintain contact with God. Because that's all she knew at that time. So 2 weeks later, I was actually preaching in that little church. And he was there, and she was there. And I was really surprised to see them. But afterwards, I went to them, and I said to him, did you understand what I was talking about? Because I was actually talking about how God wants to restore relationship. Eden the garden, he walked with man in the cool of the day. The relationship is broken because of sin, but God's desire for the whole of humanity is that we reconnect. That's what Jesus is all about, isn't it? We reconnect to the original plan. So, the wonderful thing is that she has come, she, because of that one word, stay connected. She has gone on a journey which has now taken over 18 months. And through that, she has come to the Lord. She's walking with the Lord. He's found the Lord. His mother's found the Lord. His sister's found the Lord. You know, and I want to say just one word from heaven liberates a whole tranche of people. You know, and so we just need to keep that connection. Keep listening. And for God, everything is simple. Every disaster, you know, can be turned to victory.
Amen. Right, the first one, the whole thing about joy, rejoicing, and then just leading on into connection. That we just, everything we do, and everything we want to do in our lives is just to make sure that we have a connection. We keep in touch with God because God wants to give good things to every single one of us. And sometimes we look around and we see people who we believe deserve to have good things. But we then believe that we don't. You get a testimony, someone, great testimony about this arm, you think, hallelujah. And then someone says, well, I didn't get healed. God didn't want to do it for me, but he wanted to do it for her. That's not true. God wants to do it for everybody. And when we remain in connection with God, there is that longing to come. And I want you to understand that sometimes it doesn't matter what we're doing. God is not always, he is not scoring us. As to whether we deserve it or don't. I was just thinking, Lord, give me an illustration of this. Now, I'm not God. And sometimes we look at people and kind of we think, does God really want to do them good? But God wants to do us all good. I've just thought about sometimes your own children can drive you completely mad. So I think I better talk about the grandchildren because you can feel a little bit more, you leave them when you've got fed up with them, you just walk off. So you just never scar that lovely picture of your grandkids. Our daughter came over from Germany, and she came over to celebrate her 40th birthday. And she and her husband said to us, we'd like to have 4 days in London, and will you look after the kids? You say it fast, and you expect a yes. They have six, let me tell you. So we said, okay, we'll do that. Then our other daughter, who has three children, thought the very best place for us to look after the children was down in Cornwall where they live, so that we transported six grandchildren from where we live to Cornwall where they live, add to their three. We now got nine grandchildren. We got four adults. And the thing is this, that the older girls and the older boys, they just started war. Trying to get a good, nice, sort of gentle word. No, war. Between the boys and the girls. And they were doing terrible things to each other. And it all got sorted out in the end. But then I thought to myself, if I look at all those grandkids and the ones that were being abominable and the others that were probably just about getting through, do I wish any other than the very, very best for any one of those nine grandkids? No, I don't. I want them to be blessed. It doesn't matter how exasperating they've been. And we did tear our hair out a bit. You can see I'm losing it all the time. But I know, as I just reflected on that, as I love those kids and I want good things to happen to them. Now, I tell you that story because you're God's kids. And he says, however exasperating they are, I love those kids. And I want to do good to them. All right? Okay, hallelujah. I just got a scripture here. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's all part of that joy coming through. And the other thing which the Lord just spoke to me was about the whole thing about thanksgiving. Because thanksgiving is another way in which we open up the windows of heaven to ourselves. Thanksgiving. I know that Joyce and I, consistently, we are kind of, we just know how important it is. We just thank the Lord for his blessings. We thank the Lord for our children. We thank the Lord for our grandchildren. We thank the Lord that we have a roof over our heads. We thank the Lord that we've got food on the table. We thank the Lord that he meets our needs. And it is so important that your heart is just filled with thanksgiving. Because when our hearts were filled with thanksgiving, do we have setbacks? Do things go wrong? Yes, they do go wrong. Are there things happening we wish weren't happening? Yes. But it does not negate anything of all the good things that God has given to us. So I just want to encourage you today that don't ever sort of scale down on your thanksgiving. Because that thanksgiving will open up the way. There's a great psalm. I think it's one of the best psalms about thanksgiving. It's Psalm 50. And it's the last verse in that psalm. Psalm 50, and just go to the end of the psalm, it's verse 23 now, I get there. He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares a way so that I may show him the salvation of our God. He prepares a way. You know, when I am doing thanksgiving, I'm making a kind of a pathway, you know? I dare say as you go into this fantastic new building you're going into quite shortly, all sorts of regulations these days is that they'll say we need some sort of disabled access and all the rest of it. And, you know, you have to have a kind of thing that goes that way and then goes that way and goes that way. And, when we thank God, we create the wheelchair access. And up the wheelchair access comes the blessings of God. And when you find people who are constantly pouring out thanksgivings to God, you'll find a people who are constantly receiving answers to prayer. Your misery never releases faith. I'm not suggesting you're miserable people, but I just wanted to give you some encouragement. I found a scenario one day. This is way back in the days when we were down in Sussex with Kingdom Faith and the folk down there. One day I was just sort of looking at some of the bills that needed to be paid. And, you know, kind of, we may have been in a sort of a place that seemed a really kind of a holy place, but we still have bills to pay. And, I'd laid these things out on the desk and I knew that there was virtually nothing there to pay them. And I just, that sort of grittiness. I don't know whether you must know. I'm not trying to say you don't. Do you know, you pick something up and you say, kind of, how am I going to get this thing paid? And I just started, then you can get kind of cross with God. God, I'm serving you, you know, loving you and I'm trying to be a good Christian. And, you know, I've still got this bill. And the Lord just rebuked me. And the day before, we'd had a free day and we'd taken a box of photographs to try and sort them all out. Before they're all on the computer these days. In those days, they were all in a box. And as we pulled them all out, we could see our kids over the years as they've been growing up. And I just thought, Lord, we just looked at those pictures yesterday, and all they are is just a record of your love and your grace and the good things that you've done to us, other events that we'd seen and things that we've been involved in. Lord, I have no reason to stand here looking at this bill being miserable. Lord, all I want to say is this, that you're a faithful God, and I just want to thank you for all those pictures we saw yesterday. And as I was just virtually speaking that out, I was on my own, saying it out loud, but I was on my own. A phone rang, and a phone call came through from the office and said, I wanted to get hold of you yesterday, but there's some checks that have arrived. And, you know, we already believe in the Lord for some money. Well, it's come. I thought, hallelujah. Now, you may say the money came yesterday. And so there you are. It was there already. Yes, it was there already. But God had a lesson to teach me before he was prepared to show me that his provision was on its way. Amen. Amen. Just a couple of other things. Singing. Praise. Sometimes we can kind of get caught up in the way that we kind of worship the Lord and praise him. I believe the Lord wants us to live in that constant sort of communication with praise. The other day, the Lord began to speak about the way he sings over us. In Zephaniah 3 and verse 17, it says, "The Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty." I must try and quote the rest of it because I've lost it. The Lord, I must look it up. "The Lord your God in the midst of you." This is Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. Just turn it up if you've got a Bible because it's a great scripture. "He is mighty to save, and he rejoices over you with singing." Here we are. I've found it. Got it here. Hallelujah. "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." I believe that living a life where our lives are lived in worship and praise to him is a two-way thing. Okay? It isn't you just sticking on your nice favorite CD and thinking, "I need a bit of praise over there because I'm feeling a bit, you know, let's get some in the stereo." No, it isn't what's on the iPod or the CD player or even coming out of the sound system on the car. There is a voice from heaven that is singing over you. And your response is to respond to the voice from heaven. And I mean, for years, maybe even told you here, I've been doing this for years and years and years and saying to people, what do you do when you wake up in the morning? Do you start singing a song of praise? I remember teaching it at Faith Camp years ago, a song in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, if you will tune your heart to heaven, there is a song. And if you will receive that song and sing that song, you will find that your day is set forth in praise. And if your day is set forth in praise, that communication is going backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. The songs that you get first thing in the morning, it can come from anywhere, you know. For folks who've been around as long as we have, you get a golden oldie. You know, early in the morning, you think, well, Lord, where did that come from? I didn't even know I'd still remembered it. But God says, that's the song you need to sing today because it's speaking into you my blessing. It's speaking about my faithfulness. It's speaking about the way I rejoice in you. It's speaking about what you do. So I'm just saying to you, you've got joy, you've got thanksgiving, you've got praise. And you just allow these to come through. When we build these into our lives, this is the kind of thing that the Lord just was really saying. When we build these things into our lives, we're going to live with constant testimony of healing, of deliverance, of strength, of victory, of blessing. Why? Because they're the communication link that comes from heaven. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Let me just tell you another testimony. Because there are times that we can be going through really tough times. And at one point, I was in business. My roots are in business. We had like family drapers. I had three family drapery stores down in Cornwall. I didn't have them. I was the fourth generation of the family business. Worked there for 15 years. Then we left and we went to work on a farm. We had all sorts of ideas at what should happen on that farm, and it didn't work out. The whole thing went completely wrong. And I just felt I was trapped. And the whole thing was just a nightmare. But without really knowing it, because someone pointed it out to me afterwards, but I'd often come in from kind of working out on the farm, thinking, Lord, how are you going to rescue me from all this lot? And I would sit at the piano, and there was a song that kind of just came over and over again. It says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will praise you while I have my being. My meditation of you will be sweet. I will rejoice. I will rejoice in the Lord. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. And I remember a kind of a godly man commented to me. He said, I could see you walk in there. You sat there in that piano and you just took that song and you played it. And you sang it, and it just did something inside of you. And it sustained me. And I didn't get the answer to my prayers the next day. It didn't all solve itself in 5 minutes of time. But somehow or other, kind of, I almost didn't know the theology of it, if you know what I mean. I just knew that it was something that I need to have. And some of the songs that we played on the sound system were songs of God's faithfulness at, there's another thing, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Now that's the scripture verse. There's a song sung by a guy called Andre Crouch, who's a black gospel singer. It's loud and it's gonna, and I just needed to put that loud. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on you. Allow the songs of praise and worship and joy just to flow through you, because they'll keep you in connection, and then the miracles will happen. And then the blessings will come through. Right, got one more thing. And you will know that we're strong people in the Word. You know, I read this Bible through every year and have done for many, many years. I don't know if I've told you this one, but I got nobbled. I thought I was a real, kind of quite a nice guy. And I think it was when we were up in Sussex, and then we just sort of kind of come to join up with Colin. Yeah, well, Colin must think we're, you know, got it together in some kind of way. And then David Paulson came along. And David Paulson stood in front of the group. He said, how many of you here like reading? Their hands go up. Now, how many of you, when you read a book, read it, you know, you just reckon on reading it through to the end? Oh, most of the hands went up. Now, how many believe that this is the very best book you could possibly read? All the hands went up. No one wanted to be seen saying a wrong thing then. And he said, now, how many of you read it, all of it? We lost a lot of hands, including mine. And I thought, yes, I've been reading the Bible, but I've been reading it sort of piecemeal. And I thought, Lord, I am going to commit myself to allowing that word. Now, we can get into a good works sort of syndrome. But I have discovered that God is constantly speaking to me fresh from his word. And one of those things that keeps me hearing from heaven is that God will give me a fresh word. So this scripture that we started this morning, everyone born of God overcomes the world. I've read that over and over again. And yet just a few weeks ago, here in my 1 John 5:4, everyone born of God overcomes the world. Where did that come from? I haven't seen that before. Have I got the wrong translation? No, it's there in every translation. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. And I know that God will he constantly wants to speak into my heart. In Psalm 119 and verse 165, it says, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. So, I have an expectancy every day that as I open up the Word of God, that he will speak to me and he will give me revelation. Now, I have mentioned this thing which we call Word for the Week. About 7 or 8 years ago, We were starting a website in Living Waters Church. The designer of our website said, you need to have something every week that people can see which is new and different. He said, write something, a devotional. So, Joyce and I took on board to write a word for the week. 350 words long. You can read it in under 2 minutes. We email it out to all and sundry. But that word is birthed fresh every time because God is always speaking to us through his word. And now, I'm just coming to my end because I just want to put some tools in your hands, okay? This is a little book called a two-year Bible plan. I have a one-year Bible plan, but this is a two-year Bible plan. You can read all of it and get through in a year. And I've got loads and loads of these. And they're free. And they're for you. And what I'm going to do at the end, when I finished and prayed and whatever else I do, I'm going to take a great heap, and there'll be a great heap of those. Just take one. But I want you to use it. If you say, I know the way I read through the Bible, I've got my own plan, I read it every day, I'm happy with what I do, well then, you don't need one. But as far as I've got a whole bundle of them, I'm leaving all of them. I've got a couple of hundred for you, Judith. They're all yours. Just give them away. Anybody who just needs to consistently get into the Word of God. You haven't got to wait for January the 1st. Today is November the 6th. Tomorrow morning is November the 7th. Away you go. All right? So, there'll be a bundle of those down here. Okay? I wrote a book called Help Yourself to Health. And in the chapter headings say this. I read it a long time ago. Bob Gordon wrote the foreword. And these are the chapter. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Have you asked? Will God answer your prayers? Are you a worshiper? Are you thankful? Are you a forgiver? Are you a giver? Are you at peace? What are you saying? Who has the last word? Have you drawn a line on your past? Are you active or are you passive? Those are the chapter headings. Some of you may just say, look here, I realize about this Thanksgiving thing and about, you know, being a worshiper and all these things. And I realize I just need a bit of an overhaul in that area. If this just says zing, I really enjoy that. It's free. So there'll be a bundle of those down here, all right? Now, I've got plenty in a box around the corner. That's why I've hidden them away. So that if I'd put the pile there at the beginning, you'd just wonder what it was all about, wouldn't you? Now, number three. Some of you folks like receiving things on the internet. And this word for the week, we send it out probably about 1,000 people around the world. I don't just add people on the word for the week, just because I think if I can grab as many email addresses and send it out, because I know people who don't get emails they don't want. You can't hit the delete button fast enough. Do you know what I mean? I do. I see. So I don't want that. Ding, ding, ding. It all goes. So I don't want to fill your inbox up with my word for the week and you say, oh, there's Charlie again giving us another go. So if you say, I would really like to be encouraged Wednesday, do it in the middle of the week so that it's halfway between the two Sundays. All right? And it arrives at 6:27 in your inbox every week from now until Jesus comes. Okay? And if you say, hey, I could enjoy that because I would enjoy to be, you know, my face dirt. Here is a pad. And here's a pen. Write it in. And it'll arrive on Wednesday. I assure you. Now, I'm not doing this just because, kind of, oh, wasn't it nice? He gave us stuff away. People are trying to sell all the time, and he gave it away. It's all paid for and all the rest of it. Don't worry, you know. And I'm not going to do with that. I'm not going to, you know. It's not come out of the housekeeping this week. it's just a blessing from the Lord. And if it blesses you, have one. If you're already happy, okay, don't worry. I will not be offended. I shall take the remainder of Help Yourself to Health back with me. I shall leave all the Bible plans behind, and they can be kept given away until they're gone. So, I want to pray, because I've finished. All right? That's always a very dangerous statement for a preacher to say. I finished. We have an Nigerian friend, you know, when he says, finally, you know you've got another half an hour to go. And when he says you've finished, he's still going to go for another quarter of an hour. So, any case, but I want to pray because one of the things the Lord spoke to me, and I just want to pray about this now, is when I was preparing this, I just read a couple of scriptures. One is that a cheerful heart is good medicine. And a crushed spirit dries up the bones. I just felt the Lord say, there's some, maybe one or two or three or maybe more, who just say, yeah, I needed something to really lift my spirit because I've just felt a spirit of heaviness. And I want to take a spirit of heaviness away from you today. And the other scripture says, weeping may remain for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And I believe that it's one prayer. I've just read those two scriptures because they're both describing a similar condition. Something which just causes sadness, heaviness, and things to come on you. And it has no rights. Just as Joyce shared about that lady who she prayed for and said, I just took that spirit of grief and I told it to go and it went. I want to say to you that this heaviness, grief, sadness, weeping, whatever it may be, will go now in the name of Jesus. And I just want, if you're a person who knows that what I'm saying is for you, well, I want you just to stand up right now where you are. Just stand up. Anybody. I'm not just trying to get crowds of people. I just want anybody who just knows that they just need a lifting. And it will be lifted from you. Because that's what God does. Father, I want to thank you that you're a good God. I want to thank you that you love to pour your blessings out on your people. And the thief comes only to steal, to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it in all its fullness. And every heaviness, every drying of the bones, every weeping thing that's come on, every spirit of heaviness that is upon your people here today, I lift it off now in Jesus' name. I command right now in the name of Jesus that every bit of heaviness, every bit of diminishment, every bit of drying up of the bones is going now in the name of Jesus. And I just speak a spirit of praise, a spirit of joy, spirit of thanksgiving, a word from heaven that comes into the hearts of your people today. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just stay standing a moment. Can I just ask folk who would some people around just stand up and just lay your hands on that person. Just lay your hands on them. Okay? Just speak a blessing. Just pray a blessing on them. Just a restoration. A refreshment. A release of joy. It says that he will give a spirit of praise, a garment of praise, instead of the spirit of heaviness. Lord, I just speak a garment of praise over my people. I speak joy. I speak blessing. I speak hope in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just give you praise. We thank you for speaking your word into our hearts today. And Lord, we thank you that we can live in the path of your blessing every day of our lives, because you're a good God. And it's not just a good work. It's just living with joy in our hearts and just knowing that we have a good God who loves to bless us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We've heard a really wonderful word this morning, a tremendous encouragement to live this way and therefore live in joy and happiness. And it's funny, this morning, Pastor Angie, when I went to, I actually picked her up this morning to bring her here this to the meeting. And she said, I have that really old song on my heart. I've been singing it all morning. And you see, you don't just think about a song. Don't let it just come to your mind. Sing it. Because the Holy Spirit always gives you a song. So sing it. Whether it's a new song, an old song that's new, or let your mouth, don't be silent. It's one of the most dangerous things that can happen to a believer is that you shut down. Close, you know, your mouth has been given to give thanks, praise, be vocal. In your praise, and it will release the victory and the joy of the Lord. We've just had, thank you so much, both of you, for such a tremendous morning. And you are greatly appreciated. We love you very much. And we're happy you came. It's fantastic. Now, we're going to sing a fantastic new song, even though it's a little old, to the Lord. And we're also going to be absolutely happy to give our tithes and offerings.
Amen.
Oh, your face needs to catch up with it. It's really good for you to enjoy, because you're in faith. You're believing that your generosity is releasing. It's a sign of your faith that God is your provider and he will release. So let's bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse. Believe in God that he will pour out a blessing. And let's praise him. Let's begin to pray.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log on to our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.